The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Warning! This episode contains foul language, a discussion about mental health, potentially triggering crimes, and is sponsored by FabFitFun.
Weirdos, you are listening to Keep It Weird, the podcast for all things strange, unusual, paranormal, supernatural, creepy, sticky, gross, scary, and everything in between. Each week, we sit down with a special guest and we talk about something weird. We also, every once in a while, get a little dark or a little more serious with our strange and unusual topics, and this is one of those weeks. You weirdos know that we like to be very open about mental health on this podcast, and it's very important not to sweep it under the rug and bring the topic to conversation. So, today's episode is taking a little deeper dive into some different mental disorders, the history, science, controversy, and even some of the crimes committed by a person diagnosed with a severe disorder. It's going to be a bit of a ride, so I hope you're all ready to go a little mental with us today.
Oh.
My name is Lauren, and this is my co-host, Ashley.
Hi, weirdos.
And joining us for his second time after an amazing episode on Texas Hometown Haunts last season, please welcome back the hilarious comedian, Justin Foster.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, weirdos. Hi.
My mom remembered you.
She did?
Yeah.
Today
so? She was like, who's coming on the show? And I was like, he was on the Texas, and she was like, Justin, the comedian?
Really? Oh, what's up, Mom?
Pam loves you.
Pam loves you.
What's up, Pam?
Pam's a fan. Yeah.
I love it so much.
Yes.
Pam's the best.
All right.
Yeah. We're very happy to have you back.
I'm happy to be here.
Good. Yeah.
It's cool. Thanks for having me back. I have a text exchange from Ashley. Would you like me to read it?
Yes.
No, what?
I told her I was gonna bring this up on air.
Well,
what did I say?
Here we go.
So here we go.
What is this about?
I don't remember
to be?
This.
Hey, had a really good time. We should do the show again. That was March 22nd. I would love to do the show again. Pick a date and we'll do it. August 1st. So what topic did you want to cover the next time you're on the show?
March 22nd and
to
August
be fair, to be fair, it felt like a week.
A lot happened in that time. So
my phone buzzed and I was like, oh, Ashley. I was like, did she just respond 6 months later?
What if she had literally been like, cool, cool. Let's talk about what the topic is as if she had just answered you.
Well, March 22nd was my birthday.
Yes,
so you
it
probably
was.
Texted me happy birthday.
I did. Yes, yes.
Yeah, okay.
Every year. So the response year. Happened.
Yep.
Yeah, listen.
And then Wilder was born a few days later, so then distraction.
Very busy. Very yes. busy summer.
Yep.
This year has really flown by, though.
Dude,
so
what
it's
is
wild
August? August
out.
Is not a month.
It hasn't been a month.
No.
It's crazy.
August was also crazy. I traveled a lot.
Yeah, Ashley was out of town like every week. I wasn't even on the show this month, but what happened? I don't know. Where did
and
we go?
Justin, you just got back from
I was in New York.
New York City.
Yes.
How was it?
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It's such a cool place.
It is a fun
yeah.
city.
Was that your okay, I know we talked a little bit about it earlier, but was it your first time performing in New York?
First time performing in New York. First
That's
time.
That's huge.
Yeah. It was a How'd big deal for me. It was awesome. It was great. They loved me. It was cool because like I didn't know what to expect, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's such a massive place. And, like, my hotel was in Times Square. So it, like, opened. It was just, like, right there in the middle of it. And
oh
then the
gosh.
Comedy Club was on Broadway. So I just was, like, I was such a New Yorker. Like, I had my coffee and my pizza. And I was walking from the hotel to the Comedy Club. I was like, I belong here, man.
Yes.
I have, like, real New York energy. And I just felt, like, you know, I get really angry and I get honk at people a lot in traffic. Like, yeah. I get really, come on, just move out of my way. Like, I'm like, I belong here. You
You're
know what
a
I mean?
Total New
You've
York.
Got a yeah. New York soul. Yeah.
It's always kind of gloomy and yes. like, oh, yeah.
Maybe you should be in New York.
I have a New York
Not that
energy.
We want to lose you in
yeah,
LA,
well,
but.
You know, in like 6 more months, we can do another show from New York. You know what I mean?
Ashley will hit you up
when I text you back.
Yeah, exactly. Do a live show in New York.
All right. Well, this has been fun.
Love you.
Where? I have a question.
Yeah.
So you do stand up. We've covered that I many do. Times. But which city do you think gets you the most?
Ooh, that's a great question.
I like it.
That is. No one's ever asked me that before.
Oh, wow. I should have my own show.
That's really nice. Have you thought about starting a podcast?
I, you know what? People tell me.
Yeah, you
I have a really
like
nice
it.
Voice.
You have a voice for a podcast.
You have a you voice really for a podcast. Gosh. I mean, obviously, Texas is going to be number one because that's
right.
where I'm from.
Yes.
Right? I relate. I speak the language. I did really well in New York.
Really?
I did really well in New York.
No wonder you loved it.
And Omaha, Nebraska.
Wow.
I could see you doing well in
Isn't
Omaha.
That weird?
You know?
Right?
No, you got an
I'm
Omaha
totally
face.
Kidding, but that's great.
Yeah, thank you very much. They just see me like bald white guy with a beard. He's one of us.
That's an Omaha man right there.
Yeah. I would say those three. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
New York, Texas, and Omaha. Erie, Pennsylvania, I had a really good time in. I just did Fresno and had probably the best weekend of my entire career.
What?
Yeah. And all I did was make fun of Fresno for the first 20 minutes, and they loved it.
Did you see any Fresno nightcrawlers?
What's that?
Oh, boy, I'm showing you a video when we're done.
I don't know.
Oh, man. It's a ghoulie that lives in Fresno, and it looks like a pair of pants.
Did you post about it recently?
No.
Oh, that kind of looked like one. The thing that was running by
the car.
The
thing that was running?
I mean, who knows what
maybe it was.
No,
like,
sorry.
Fresno's, like, worse than, like, it's got to, like, what can make it worse? Oh, great, we've got a creature.
That looks like pants.
Yeah, that looks like pants.
You
just,
bet.
It's just JNCO jeans running down the highway. JNCO. Like, oh no.
It's Ashley's ex.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just the chain wallets hitting cars. Oh no.
Oh no, there you go.
That's
go
right, because we bonded over
denim.
The fact that Ashley used to date a juggalo.
Yeah.
So when
oh,
I was, I posted
gosh.
This video on my Instagram. I don't know if you saw it. I think I might have tagged you in it. I
you
was
probably
in,
did.
I was in Erie, Pennsylvania,
oh, yeah.
And there was a guy heckling me. Or I was like, you look. I was like, I was talking about chain wallets. He goes, I still have mine. And he stood up and he showed me his wallet. And I said, sir, you look like a juggalo without makeup on. And he proceeded to lift up his shirt, and he had a full-size juggalo tattoo on his
Shut
arm.
Shut up. He's like ICP all day.
And the place went bananas.
Oh, my God.
And I texted, and I tagged
perfect.
Ashley. I was like, I think I found your ex.
What if you were like, yep.
Yeah, that looks like...
You got to bleep that out.
Yeah, bleep.
Oh, that's so good.
Oh, my God, yeah. It was really funny.
That's hilarious.
You also, before we get into it,
yeah.
you have a podcast as well.
I do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that
yeah.
just came back.
We
Wait,
did.
Just when did it come back?
We were about 7 weeks in.
Okay.
Yeah, but we took about a year off. My co-host, she had twins.
Okay.
And so that like benched us for a while.
Hey, we get
hey,
it
hello.
Over here.
Yeah.
We've been having some struggles.
Yeah.
So yes.
And so it's back and it feels so good. Like, I didn't realize how much I missed it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I called her. I was like, I need you. I was like, I've had a weird year. I've had a very weird. I was like, I need you. She's like, I need you too. I was like, we got to get this back. She was like, yes. And
I
so like,
we just, what
and...
we did, we gave Wilder a producer credit.
Yes.
Yeah.
We sure
so
did. And
he
that
just...
helped things a lot.
There you go.
It's
really
funny because I kind of,
line.
I almost took like a delayed maternity leave because when Wilder was born, I like immediately came back on the podcast
right.
and was like, screw babies. Let's do this. But then I haven't been on in like a month and a half. It
he got
like.
Louder.
So, yeah, yeah, he got a little wilder, if you will.
There you go.
So anyway, all that is to say, we get it. And
I understand.
We missed each other so much, too,
yes.
and like needed to
this
get back
on track.
It's the
first time we've seen each other for like weeks.
Yeah.
It's weird. There's
we
like this, there's this thing that like podcasts, like I like get super fulfilled from comedy. Like it's like I can be artistic and creative, but there's something about sitting down and like, because my co-host, she's very, very funny. So she doesn't do comedy. She's just naturally hilarious.
Uh-huh.
So I don't have to do any of the heavy lifting.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? I can just be like, here's a subject. Like, what do you got? And,
right.
and I'm like, oh, it just feels really nice to be like, I can
good.
Be like, I can be the straight man.
Yes.
And she can be like the funny. You know, does that
I
make
love
sense?
That.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just like, I like, there's some episodes where I don't talk for like 15 minutes straight because she's just like, and da 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 da. And I'm like, yeah, this is perfect.
It's so good.
I'm
going to
take a nap,
naturally.
Wake me up when it's over.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was jet lagged on Sunday. I'd been traveling for like 9.5 hours and I came in straight to record. And I was like, Krista, you're going to have to take the wheel on this one. She was like, what subject you got? And I just threw him out there. She's like, got it.
Let's do it. Let's go.
It was awesome.
So, yeah, that's a good feeling.
But yeah, so we're back doing that. And by the way, I would like to have, I know your schedule's crazy, and since we're neighbors, we actually brought you up on the show the other day.
Yeah.
That we need to have you on because I've backed myself into this corner. Mm-hmm. I can't agree with my co-host. It's just something I don't do, right? Whatever she thinks, I take the opposite of, right? Uh-huh. Just because that's what makes for good radio.
Yeah.
You have two people that are like, but so anyways, I backed myself in a corner the other day because we had this whole episode about ghosts. And I was like, I don't believe in ghosts. Ghosts aren't real. Aliens aren't real.
How dare you?
And I didn't believe any of it, but I was just trying to be argumentative and I was like having her prove her point. And oh my God, did I just get railed with emails and people telling me their ghost stories.
Oh my God.
And now for weeks, I have to keep up this facade of like, I'm the cool guy that doesn't
believe
in ghosts. And that's not true at all. Right. I mean, obviously. So I was like, well, we'll see. I was like, I know someone who we can do like a podcast
crossover,
and we'll have her on and we'll see what she thinks and whatever.
Yes, I love it.
I know a girl who knows a ghost.
Yeah, exactly. And I got a that's friend awesome. Who knows a guy.
Yeah, Ashley will tell you in a second.
Yeah, so. I even have some evidence I can bring on to the
that's where we're at
show.
Right now. Is
oh like, my gosh, yeah. Bring like all the Biltmore shit.
All the
and be like, listen.
Hello.
Bring everything because now all my listeners think that I'm just like this too
the
cool
worst.
For school.
Even though you came on and talked about some Texas haunts with us. So
for
all you
sure.
really have to do is be like, I'm a liar. Listen
a liar.
To Keep It Weird.
You know when you just run your mouth and you're like, why am I saying this? I don't believe any of this.
Yeah. It's like you said, you gotta play devil's advocate sometimes because it makes for good convo.
Right, and now it's like,
unless you're me and Lauren who agree on everything.
I know,
we've ever talked
it's
about.
Funny because I feel like our listeners will come on and like produce a different topic and the two of us are like, it's this one.
It's definitely a ghost.
Are you sure? I think I just didn't pay my bills. Now,
nope, it's a ghost.
Okay.
I'm sure the window's open.
Nope.
Ghost.
It couldn't be a breeze. It's a ghost.
We live in LA. There's no breeze here.
There's no breezes.
Oh, my God.
So this week we are going to be discussing personality disorders. And the reason we're discussing personality disorders is because you, Justin, really wanted to research and discuss antisocial personality disorder. Why did you want to talk about sociopaths?
I called you on.
Right.
When you didn't book me for 6 months. And you go,
there
what
we
do you,
go.
What
that's
topic
why
do you want to talk
is.
About? I go, well, I have one now. And you go, is it sociopaths? I was like, it is. And so that's how we got here.
Oh my gosh. I can't. That is.
I remember.
Amazing.
I took a course in college on psychology and I was bragging about how well versed I am in it. And so now here we are.
That's what happened with Joe, who he was like an anthropology?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love
are
that store.
Quite?
Here's the thing. I immediately thought of the store.
Yeah.
He was an anthropology minor and I introduced
that's
him
so
as
cool.
that on one episode. I was like, he's an anthropology minor. And he was like, wow, Ashley. And I was like, you've taken more anthropology classes than I have.
Yeah.
Yet.
You're the expert.
I'm going to throw it out there.
You're officially into it.
Like he's going to know more.
And I've also been in a lot of therapy too. So I think that counts as well. Like
hey,
I've been
me
on
too.
A lot of couches.
I'm glad we've all been in therapy at some point in our lives. I think that will add
you
to the
conversation. You have to. You can't live in LA unless you've been in therapy at some point.
One hundo.
What are you going to talk about at brunch? You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Come on.
Who's 100%. Your therapist?
You're
your
blonde.
I know.
So, but because this podcast is about things that are weird and strange and crazy, we are going to be discussing cases in which these personality disorders went too far. They progressed too much and something bananas maybe happened. And we don't want you, the listener, to get the idea that everyone who is a sociopath, everyone who has paranoid personality disorder, or everyone who's schizophrenic is a quote-unquote crazy person who's going to commit atrocities.
Right.
We don't believe that. It's actually very unlikely that they do. And if it makes you feel better or worse, who knows, most murderers, including serial killers and mass murderers, are not insane.
Mm-hmm.
So to start this episode, before we get into the nitty gritty, this is a topic that we've been excited. I know I've been excited about talking about, but also very cautious about talking about as someone, you know, who suffers from a mental disorder myself. I understand stigmas. I understand the feeling of ostracization. That's a hard one.
It is a tough
ostracization.
One. I was impressed the way you got to it.
Thank you. And being misunderstood or even undermined. But I also understand that language and intent is important when discussing this kind of thing. So just as a blanket disclaimer, this episode, we may be using terms like normal. And when we use normal, please don't think that we are saying that people with personality disorders are, quote, not normal or weird or less than. Normal in this case is outside the norm, as in it exists within a much smaller percentage of the population. So if ever we use the word normal, please interpret it as standard or prevailing. On top of that, as usual, this is a comedy podcast, and we take a look at some serious subjects sometimes, murder, religion, politics. And if we make a joke or laugh, it's not because we think it's a joke. And unless this is your first episode, you know how often I make light of or make fun of myself and my own anxiety disorder. So sometimes, as Lauren said earlier, I don't think we were recording when you said it, but sometimes it's nice to laugh about.
Yeah.
Bad things.
I feel like that whole disclaimer was for me and me alone.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
I'm well, so triggered right now. So. Listen, we're going to have this comedian from Texas on. If he says anything insensitive.
There might be offensive joke. No, but we do it all the time too. Because we do try to make light of things, because sometimes it's honestly a coping mechanism is to make light of something.
That's what standard, that's what comedy is, right? You turn tragedy into something.
Exactly. Funny. I mean, it's harder to do in 2019, apparently, than it has been before. But
true.
Usually I have to, after we record an episode, I have to like post record a disclaimer and shove it in to be like, okay guys, but this one I was like, I know that I just need to prepare because something's going to be said, even if it's something like I said, like normal. I know that, you know, people don't like the word crazy, obviously. Some people are just fucking crazy, though.
Some people are just crazy.
Some people are just crazy. And most of the time they don't have a mental disorder.
And sometimes that's fun too. You know what
I mean? To be a little crazy.
Or like hang out with someone who's a little crazy.
Oh, hell
or like maybe go on a date with someone who's a little crazy.
Oh,
right?
For sure.
Sometimes
it's entertainment.
Sometimes normal. I'm using quotes, listeners.
Quote.
Normal is boring.
It's a little boring.
A little boring,
absolutely.
Right?
Spice up your life.
Oh, my gosh.
With a personality disorder.
When the girl answers the phone when you call. Oh, my gosh.
No, thanks.
Where she's
too
like,
much.
Says where she's going to be. Oh,
weird.
Come on.
I hate it.
I like to be kept on my. I want a girl who's going to go missing for like a week. And like, oh, sorry. just checked my phone. I didn't see that you text. Oh, yeah.
Checking my phone for the first time in 6 months.
That's how I got booked.
Okay, guys.
I'm sorry. I had to do one more dig.
The 20 minutes in and all I've heard.
Ashley's a busy person, in her defense. She's very busy.
Yeah. You dated a clown. You don't answer your phone. I get it.
You dated a clown?
I mean,
like a professional clown? Oh, okay. I thought you also dated.
Oh my gosh, if you had also dated a real clown, we'd need
you
to
guys
hear
don't know
every
my life.
Story.
She's
right?
like, well, he did have big feet.
Mada bing.
He's always making me laugh.
Always making me laugh.
Every big time I cried, he had plenty of tissues.
His right nose was always a little redder than the rest of his face.
The benefits of dating a clown.
It's so good.
It's like always in an Uber pool with him and his friends.
All the friends jammed in there. 10 of them come out. Oh my gosh. That's good stuff.
Oh my God.
Anywho. Back to the topic.
Are you guys done?
Justin's crying.
Are you guys done?
I'm just thinking of your current boyfriend who's the clown meeting your ex who is the juggalo, but they're both in makeup. Well, someone has a type.
Wow.
Okay, well... We went off the rails.
So I'm going to go first today, and I was really interested to search schizotypal disorder, which is not schizophrenia, it turns out. And I had never heard of it, and I always assumed that schizophrenia was the same as schizoid, but it's not.
Okay.
And I didn't know that either. Schizophrenia is a psychotic disorder, whereas schizoid and schizotypal are a personality disorder, and they're different.
Makes sense.
So prior to 2013, personality disorders were classified differently than psychotic disorders, like as completely different things, like they weren't related in any way, shape, or form. Personality disorders were categorized as axis 2, and psychotic disorders were categorized as axis 1, and that's like according to the DSM.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's called? DSM?
Yeah.
The Diagnostic Statistical... manual.
Like Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders.
Exactly. The difference being that Axis 2 disorders were part of a person's personality and therefore almost impossible to treat because it's like a part of who you are.
Yeah.
And Axis 1 disorders, like schizophrenia, was completely separate from the person. It was like a disease, and it was treatable.
Gotcha.
Well, like any science, this was shown to be false and actually super dangerous for the people that it was treating.
Well.
In 2013, the axial system was abolished. And now they actually believe that schizotypal personality disorder is in the middle of the spectrum. Schizoid is sort of like on the milder side. And schizophrenia is on the more severe. So it's actually something that can progress into a more serious disease.
Like after, through like age?
Yeah, well, through age or through trauma,
yeah.
Right. Or not being treated, like if you let it go untreated for a long time.
Dang.
All these disorders are probably biologically related. A lot of experts think that people with these disorders have similar genetic vulnerabilities, but it's still unclear as to why a person would develop a more or less severe version of this disease. 'Cause some people go straight into, you know, schizophrenic from a young age, from like 15. So it's definitely important to treat them separately and appropriately. Like schizophrenia still is something where it's like you can actually see it. Like if you take a scan of someone's brain, you could see
results of it.
Results of schizophrenia. You can't do that with like schizotypal or schizoid. So with schizophrenia, it's definitely treated with like antipsychotics. Schizotypal and schizoid, you can actually start with therapy. And maybe like some anti-anxiety or anti-depression medication, and then possibly antipsychotics if you're starting to have delusions and stuff. So that was super interesting. And the actual disorder of this is schizotypal again, because again, I didn't even know that was a word until I started researching for this episode.
Clue until you said that.
And then I was like, I have to figure out what that
Great
is.
Great band name.
Schizotypal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Would be pretty badass.
I'd see them for sure.
I always want to say schizotypical, but it's not schizotypal.
Yeah.
So it manifests itself as severe social anxiety, a thought disorder, a paranoid ideation, and derealization. Those are the main characteristics. And derealization is basically when your perceptions and your experiences are altered so that the external world seems not real. So you question whether or not people are real,
like
or things are real.
Yeah,
or like if you're dreaming or something like that. People with schizotypal personality disorder feel extreme discomfort having and keeping close relationships with people. They usually avoid forming them altogether. And this is mainly because they think that their peers harbor negative thoughts towards them. A lot of times these people will use weird speech mannerisms and dress strangely. And they might react oddly in what we refer to as normal conversations. Like they don't react the way that you would think someone would react to like a typical everyday conversation.
Do you think you would... No, sorry. What do you
No, I was going to say to that. So a lot of times, the, like the homeless population is, there's a lot of untreated or or released from institutionalized these types of people. And you can, it's either like meth psychosis or schizophrenia. And a lot of people are really quick to be like, oh, that guy is on drugs. But it's like, oh, sometimes they're just, you know, the systems failed them.
Yeah.
And they're wearing, you know, different shoes and carrying umbrellas, and it's like and talking and yelling at each other. And a lot of times it's not a drug thing. It's, you know, it's just late psychosis.
Yeah. And the thing is, especially with schizophrenia, drug usage, even stuff like marijuana usage, can actually make it worse.
Okay.
It can actually progress the disease faster.
So if someone is abusing a substance, they may appear even more out of whack.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And you can smoke enough or you can do enough meth to turn you into that way.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah. But a lot of times it's
as like a perfectly healthy person.
Exactly. Yeah. You can make yourself to that.
But yeah, any kind of drug or alcohol abuse, if you're someone who has a personality disorder or a psychotic disorder, it will worsen the disorder.
Yeah.
And it will rapidly increase, like, how schizophrenic you are.
Yeah.
And there's not really any going back at that point. I mean, without treatment. Schizotypal disorder occurs in like 3% of the general population. It's more common in males. And the numbers fluctuate because, like I said, misdiagnosis of schizophrenia, misdiagnosis of schizoid personality disorder, it's all kind of still being worked out.
Sure.
So depending on what you're diagnosed as, like it might be closer to 5%. Mm-hmm. So schizotypal disorder, like schizophrenia, is genetic.
Oh,
it's much higher in relatives of individuals with schizophrenia than in the relatives of people with no mental illnesses or different mental illnesses. And there is evidence to suggest that parenting styles, early separation, trauma, childhood neglect increases the risk of developing this disorder. And over time, children, like everyday children, learn to interpret social cues and respond appropriately. But if they have this disorder, that process doesn't work as well. Mm-hmm. They don't quite understand how to respond.
Yeah.
You know, you always talk about people who are just like extraordinarily awkward in social situations. Mm-hmm. Like you can't have a conversation with them.
Right. My neighbors,
they might have.
I like how everyone just went to someone they know.
Yeah,
immediately.
I said it out loud.
My coworker, 100%. I can't talk to this person.
100%.
I'm going to say this off air, but.
Oh, God.
Right?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Cut that out, please.
She knows better.
I don't know.
Well,
I,
she's never going to hear.
Yeah.
Bleep. Yeah, but I won't.
Yeah, you bleep,
to bleep
you
it,
bleep
out
it
later.
Twice, but not the third one.
So well, don't say it again because I won't catch it.
Well, I feel like I just wanted to say, normally when I think someone's awkward in a situation, I usually say, I wonder if they're on the spectrum, more thinking that maybe they're a little bit autistic or have Asperger's. So it's interesting that it could be something completely different from that. That also, it might just be a more mild case of schizotypal, whatever.
Or schizoid.
Just, or schizoid,
which
yeah.
schizoid is like super mild.
Right. So it could totally be that. It's just I've never heard that before, so it's interesting.
According to several experts, including a man named Theodore Millen, did you guys come across that at all? He studied a lot with personality disorders, and he actually took things like schizoid, schizotypal personality disorders, antisocial, obsessive compulsive, dependent personality disorder, narcissistic personality disorder, sadistic personality disorder. He basically broke them down into subtypes. Mm-hmm. So, for example, when it came to sadistic personality disorders, there's spineless sadism.
What's that?
Which is basically like you have the thoughts, but you would never act on them.
Gotcha.
Okay.
And then there's like enforcing, tyrannical, and then like the biggest, like the most severe is explosive sadism, and that's like an actual like violent scary person.
Right.
I feel like there's a Reddit thread like committed to the spineless sadist, because there's a whole Reddit
it's
thread
like
of people
who are
like I have really dark thoughts, but I swear on my life I would truly never do this. I don't have the strength to do it, but why do these thoughts always haunt me? And there's just like a whole forum of people that talk about it.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
I like how it's called spineless sadism.
I know.
Sadism.
Yeah,
you're not
like,
beating around the bush with us,
you
pussy.
You can't even
just
do it.
You're a wimp.
Like, Jesus.
I know.
Christ.
Well, lay off.
But according to this guy who studied these for like his entire career, schizotypal is actually one of the easiest personality disorders to identify, but one of the most difficult to treat with psychotherapy, because people with STPD usually consider themselves to not have a disorder. They consider themselves to be very eccentric or like non-conforming.
Yeah.
So they're the kind of people that are like, I'm not going to just like go with the pack just because everyone's doing it doesn't mean I will. You know, that's how they kind of see themselves. They don't understand that like they are harming themselves in the sense that like they're not, what's the word I'm looking for? They're not like becoming social in the way that they need to like survive in the world. And they kind of underestimate their dysfunction. And it's also not easy to have a rapport with people who suffer from STPD, because increasing familiarity and intimacy usually increases their anxiety and their discomfort. So like the closer you get to them, the more that they're like, they have a flare up and they like can't have that relationship. So it's really hard to treat. Which leads me into actually a paranoid personality disorder, which is almost the same. There's a couple differences. Along with STPD, which again, this paranoid has several levels and subtypes. Obdurate paranoid, fanatic paranoid, querulous paranoid, insular paranoid, malignant paranoid.
Spineless paranoid.
Spineless paranoid.
Explosive paranoid.
Clown.
Juggalo.
Juggalo paranoid. Obdurate on the lesser end of the spectrum is just like someone who's kind of assertive and unyielding. They're very stubborn, cranky, they're self-righteous, and they kind of feel like they're always right, and anyone who tries to say that they're wrong is like against them in some way.
Oh, geez.
So that's kind of like the more mild version of it. And then malignant takes it to like another level. They're belligerent, they're intimidating, they're vengeful, they're hostile. So I think that's cool that he like broke it down into the different
subtypes.
Because yeah, you think like about that. People with OCD,
right?
There's some people who just like want their hands to be really clean.
Right.
So they use hand sanitizer after everything they touch.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some people who literally can't leave their house.
Right.
Yeah, because reading one, like this really bad form of OCD where you have these thoughts in your head and the thoughts take over. Like, what if I'm attracted to children?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God! What if I like you don't? You're not, but it's like, what if I? What if that happens?
So
what
if I don't want to leave your house?
Right, and it starts taking over of like, what if?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I mean?
Yeah, and you get so in your head.
Yeah.
Well, and I didn't realize OCD and OCPD are two totally different things. But then I started when I was researching for this episode. I was originally going to do OCD, and OCD is more the hand washing. You might have a couple of rituals before you go out to work in the day. And OCPD is obsessive compulsive personality disorder, and that's the one that's like. Holds you down. Like you can't live a normal life. And it also has that sense of righteousness to it. A lot of people with OCPD cannot be changed in their ways, even through therapy. It's like they are so far gone and set in their ways that they're like, no, I'm right. You're wrong. Everything has to be this way, or I don't want to live this life at all. And it can make them like suicidal and self-harm because of that. It's a lot.
It's horrifying.
It's so scary.
Joey actually was just telling me, I guess, David, he just listened to a David Spade interview. I don't know if it was like Marin or I don't know what it was on, but he was listening to a David Spade interview, and David Spade was talking about, you know, his Chris Farley, who was his best friend, and how they didn't know at the time because it wasn't like a thing that people really knew about, but he had OCD. Every time before he would like pitch something, if he was nervous, he would take every dollar bill out of his wallet and he would have to lick the corner of every one and put it back in his wallet.
Whoa.
Every time he stood up, he would have to tug twice on each pant leg, pull him down. And every time he would sit down, he'd tug twice on each pant leg up to sit down. Every time he would leave their office, because they shared an office, they were like best friends and they were writers and performers on the show together. And every time he would leave the office, he would have to turn the lights on and off twice and then hit the door frame.
Really?
So like he actually had
he had to do
OCD,
the rituals.
But this wasn't something that like, it wasn't something everyone knew about.
Yeah.
We didn't have
still go to work.
And,
Well, he's eccentric, right? He's a comedian and he has to be funny
he's just
and silly.
Doing, like,
and, right.
Kind of,
oh, God, just be a Chris Farley. Turn
you're
the lights
creative,
on.
It's
right,
fun.
I actually had a dog that suffered from OCD.
What?
Chihuahua. His name was Rio. He had to turn 7 times clockwise and 7 times counterclockwise to lay down. Right. And if he got up for any reason to move, he would have to start
it
over
again.
Yeah, every time. And I don't know like how he knew how to count. Maybe it's just like an instinct, but he would do it,
good
right?
For the dog.
Isn't it crazy? And then also the threshold from the living room to the kitchen, that like gold.
Yes.
He couldn't touch it. So he would stop and he would stare at it for long amounts of time.
Wow. Too long.
Long. And then he would finally work up the courage to jump completely over it to get to his food
and
water.
It's like
or
an
whatever.
Inch wide.
Yeah.
Oh,
exactly.
He's a Chihuahua.
Yeah. Right, right.
Dang.
And but yeah, and then
can't
he would come
dogs
over.
Dogs can have it.
This way, this way, this way, this way, this way, this way. Lay down. Oh, I don't like that position. Turn. Late. I've never
like
seen
all
anything
about
like
the ritual. Just
exactly.
Like humans.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. He would lick my dollar bills.
Fold up the pants. I was telling Ashley before this episode, I used to always watch the show True Life on MTV, and one of the which was so good. I wish they still did television
Me
like
too.
That.
Me too. I loved
now
True Life.
Now their shows are crap. But they did True Life, I Have OCD, and the people on it was the first time I ever saw what actually happened, because I'd heard of OCD and people would almost joke about it and be like, whoa,
oh,
you're a little
so
OCD.
Yeah,
controlling.
Yeah.
But there was a guy who like had to take a certain amount of breaths before he left for work. He'd stand in front of his mirror and go, and then he'd be like, no, I didn't like that one. And like, he'd have to do it over and over again before he could even leave for work. And he was like, I'm usually like 15 minutes late every day because I can't get that breath. And it was like, what? Like, oh.
I had the hand washing thing in high school.
Did you?
Yeah. high school and a little bit out of it.
Would your hands get so dry from washing them over and over?
Yeah.
What was going through your head when you were doing it? Did you even notice you were doing it?
At one point, it was just like, oh, germs. And like, I just want to be, oh, I wash my hands, but then I touch this thing. So now I have germs on it again. So I got to go back and rewash it. Mm. And then that, and then of course, that just turns into now I'm just
snowballs.
Washing it. And you don't even write. Yeah. Oh my God, I'm under the sink again.
Right.
Yeah.
Man. You like black out and you wake up.
You come to and you're like
washing
covered
still
in dawn.
Yeah.
Yeah, last night was
what
wild.
Happened?
Wild night.
Hey, weirdos, let's get real. For years, we've said that we didn't want to have sponsorships. Ads are awful. We didn't want to promote a product we didn't even use. Yada, yada, yada. Well, FabFitFun changed our minds. As someone who suffers from diagnosed anxiety and depression, self-care can be a lifesaver. But also, as someone who suffers from anxiety and depression, sometimes shopping and even taking the time to do so can be too overwhelming for me.
For real. And the Fall Box, you guys, that is on sale right now is a perfect way to take care of yourself or others. If you have friends or family that you think need a little self-care and self-love, give it to them. They shop for you and you save money on full size products, which is awesome because a lot of subscription boxes offer only samples. Ashley and I have both subscribed to those in the past.
Yep. We got our first box in the mail a couple weeks ago and we weren't sure what to expect, but I was kind of shocked at how much cool stuff we got. I love the vitamin C face powder. I literally think my skin is brighter and my smile is bigger. That's not true, but I do think my skin is brighter. And of course, the Anthropology yoga mat, which, by the way, would cost me an entire subscription box of FabFitFun, which is Banana Town.
I love the hair repair treatment. It's like this hair mask leave-in conditioner. And as somebody who had a baby and is going through some crazy postpartum hair loss, my hair feels dry and crazy until I put this hair repair treatment in it. No joke, you guys. It's incredible. It is a game changer. And what's awesome is some of the items are customizable in your box. So if there was an item you wanted more than another, you could replace it. Instead of the yoga mat, maybe you wanted the hair straightener or the lunchbox. You just go to fabfitfun.com, take a look at their products in the month's box. Bada bing, bada boom. There you go.
Bada bing, bada boom. And you can learn more about the company there as well. Like how most of the products are from female-founded companies and that each season FabFitFun partners with a nonprofit. This fall, it's City of Hope, who are dedicated to making a difference in the lives of people with cancer, diabetes, and other illnesses by working with our favorite thing, science.
Yes. So here's the 411. FabFitFun is a seasonal subscription box with full size, I'm saying it again,
full size
beauty, fitness, and lifestyle products. Each box is $49.99, but always has a value of over $200.
And I know that's true because, like I said earlier, just the yoga mat itself was the price of the whole box. I know because I checked.
That's right. Use coupon code WEIRD for $10 off your first box at www.fabfitfun.com. Again, that is code WEIRD, W-E-I-R-D, for $10 off your first box at www.fabfitfun.com.
And if you sign up, let us know because we want to be FabFitFun buddies. We'll be getting the boxes along with you so we can compare our gifts and gush over our favorite things. It's always important to take care of yourselves, weirdos. We hope you take our $10 coupon and give yourself some fall lovin'. Where was I?
Who knows?
Oh, here we go. Paranoid personality disorder, which is also known as PPD. We talked about this earlier. That's also postpartum depression.
It is
so
not
if I
what
say
we mean this
PPD,
episode.
I am still talking about paranoid personality disorder. I did not change topic. So it's characterized by paranoia and a longstanding suspiciousness and mistrust of others, other people. They can be hypersensitive, they can be easily insulted, and they relate to the world by vigilantly keeping an eye on their environment, looking for clues or suggestions that validate their fear or bias. Okay. So like any time, if they think, like for example, I had a neighbor, and of course, again, this was drug fueled. After a while, the drugs really got to him. But I think he did meth. This was growing up in Walnut Hill, Illinois. He had a trailer. And every once in a while, every couple months, he'd be outside, he'd be ripping the siding off of his trailer because he was convinced that the police had bugged his trailer.
Mm, yeah, that's meth for sure.
Yeah. And it was, but it was constant.
Just severe paranoia.
Yeah. Wow. And you couldn't tell him. I mean, not that I was 12.
Sir.
Yeah. Sir, I'm pretty sure that
I'm in
seventh grade, but I'll tell you.
I'm pretty sure that it's not. You know what I mean? But you can't tell them because they know.
Yeah. They know. It's true.
And if you tell them that's not what's happening, then whose side are you on?
Right.
Like,
you're
who
a
cop. Yeah.
You could get hurt.
You have to tell me
if
you're a cop.
If you are. If not, help me with this sighting.
12-year-old cop, Ashley.
So they look for signs and threats of danger, and they usually disregard other evidence. And this is seen a lot of times with conspiracy theorists, and not like us, where we're like, isn't that a fun thing to talk about? Right. People that are actually like, no, the earth is flat, and this is why, and this is why they'd lie to us. You know what I mean? These people tend to interpret others' actions as hostile and take things very personally when you try to explain your point of view or even give them evidence to the contrary, like whatever their beliefs are. If you show them, like, here's evidence
the
that
truth.
If you show them the truth, they will take it as like a hostile action.
You
and
don't
again,
get caught in
that like spectrum, like the lower end of the spectrum just like might get their feelings hurt.
Mm-hmm.
The higher end of the spectrum might shoot you.
Right.
So
you don't know what you're walking into.
This can also be hereditary. There does seem to be a genetic link between PPD and schizophrenia. And a lot of experts implicate parents and their behavior, the projection of like negative feelings on your children, the underlying belief that other people are unfriendly or that the world is dangerous, kind of like a bubble boy scenario.
Mm-hmm. I mean, not entirely false, but
The world sucks and it's super scary out there. But it's like that's all you plant in your kid's head, and especially if the world is dangerous, everyone's out to get you. On top of something like nothing is ever your fault, it's always them. It's their fault, and you combine that with a lack of self awareness, you get a person with paranoid delusions.
Makes sense.
I had this quote the other day: if everything is someone else's fault, then there's no solution.
Oh, yeah.
If you're never responsible for anything, then there's no... You're just at the whim and the mercy of the world, which is a terrible place.
Yeah, you don't want to be there.
That's
horrifying.
Right.
That's a good quote.
Yeah.
Think about that, listeners.
There you go.
Everybody.
Take a bite out of that.
Take a bite out of that.
So I thought this was interesting because should I bleep it out?
Oh, gosh.
Say it and we'll decide.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm pretty sure... has paranoid
personality. Yes, bleep that out for sure. Yeah.
There you go. Sure.
Okay.
But someone you know.
So I found this list of, like, in order to be diagnosed with this disorder, you have to exhibit at least 3 of these.
Okay.
So I was like, oh, hell yes.
Yeah.
I checked off, like, 5.
Dang.
Which is like,
for her or for you?
For her.
Oh, okay. All
right. Well.
She said, I checked off 5. I was like, oh, no, this took
I
a weird turn.
Five.
Ashley, are you telling us?
It's like a cosmopolitan test. You're like, yes, that does sound like me. Wait a minute.
That is where the guy's G-spot is.
Also sounds like me. Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Number
I was like, every Cosmo.
Everyone, right?
Dude, everyone.
Try fruit.
Okay,
relax, Cosmo.
Dude, I read a Cosmo once that said to put a donut around a guy's dick and eat it off.
Shut.
And I was like, who is that for, me or him?
Right.
Like, because I get a donut.
I would be like, hey, can I have half
donut.
Of that?
Yeah. No, does the guy
get
to have
any? Wait, before you put your nasty mouth all over
put
that.
Put some glaze on it for you.
Gross.
You guys.
Sprinkles, that's bad.
Oh, yeah.
Ew. What about shaved coconut? That's way worse.
I'm going to bomb. We need to move on. This is so disgusting.
This is the lie in the donut talk?
The shaved coconut. Yeah. What is that, really?
This is the line we're drawing here. Okay. Number 1. Excessive sensitivity to setbacks and rebuffs. So, like, everything is personal.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Every single setback, every single... person who denies them.
Gosh, I know so many people like this.
I feel like I identify with that with a small percentage.
Here we go. Number 2, a tendency to bear grudges persistently.
Mm.
And that's kind of like the refusal to forgive insults or slights.
Yeah.
Okay. Like you can never forget them or forgive them. Number 3, a suspiciousness and pervasive tendency to distort experience by misconstruing neutral or friendly actions of others as hostile or contemptuous. Mm. So someone offers a mint and they assume that they are automatically insulting them for the smell of their breath. Mm. When it's no, I just had gum
that's
out.
That's absolutely me. Yeah. That's the first one I've checked off. Whenever someone's like, you want gum or a mint? I'm like, what?
What
just
do
tell
you
me
mean?
My breath stinks.
Right, yeah. God,
just be honest.
Stop being passive aggressive.
Number four. A combative and tenacious sense of self-righteousness out of keeping with the actual situation. So okay. Refusing to hear other people's point of view on a situation or experience.
Okay. Wow.
Number five, recurrent suspicious without justification regarding sexual fidelity of spouse or sexual partner.
Say again.
That's pretty constantly accusing your partner of being
unfaithful.
Wow. Oh, I've been in a relationship like that.
Even when it's like, I was with you the whole night. Right. It's like, I know that you, you went to the bathroom and you must have been texting him. Like,
right.
Gosh,
constantly thinking that your spouse is sleeping with someone else.
That's a wild one.
That's a big one, actually. That's really popular.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I feel like I know so many people who check many things on this list.
Yeah.
Number six, tendency to experience excessive self-aggrandizing. So meaning they consistently enhance their own abilities or successes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And manifests in a persistent self-referential attitude. Self-reference meaning knowing that they always know best, even if it's something they have zero experience in and someone's trying to give them advice with something that they have experience in, they know better.
I know so many people like this.
I know. This, you're literally explaining so many people I feel like that we worked on Glee with. I'm not gonna lie. Sounds awful. Sorry about it.
And number seven, preoccupation with unsubstantiated conspiratorial explanations of events, both immediate to the patient and the world at large. Conspiracies or conspiracy theories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of times PPD gets compounded by other disorders, OCD, schizoid, agoraphobia, social anxiety, substance abuse. And it's super challenging to treat with psychotherapy, again, because they don't trust the psychologist.
Right.
Like,
if the world's out to get
them.
You
don't trust anybody.
Yeah.
Right. The guy that's trying to help them for sure is.
Yeah. You can't gain any sort of rapport with your psychiatrist or psychologist because.
Are you cheating on me? Well, I have other patients.
I have other patients. Yeah. And I feel like you'd lie to them because you said they like to puff up their successes and they'd probably say some untrue.
And I was going to say that people like that who don't know what they don't want you to think that they're sick.
Yep.
So you can't help someone who doesn't think that they're sick.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Wow. So it's a really tough one to treat. Usually it's a combination of psychotherapy, antidepressants, antipsychotics, and anti-anxiety medication, which is a lot. Again, more common in males.
Okay.
And it occurs in...
I'm going to high-five you for that.
It occurs in 0.5% of the population, but it's honestly probably closer to 2.5%, but most of these people will never seek treatment for their disorder.
Because they don't need it.
Unless the thing is that they will seek treatment. They won't seek treatment, but sometimes they will be court ordered because
But everyone else needs treatment to them.
Yeah, you know because of a crime that they've committed or because of whatever. So the early stages, schizotypal, schizoid, paranoid personality disorders, they're rarely violent. It usually has to advance to paranoid schizophrenia in order to become potentially deadly, if it's going to, especially when it comes to repeat offenders. Usually when you see physical violence in these disorders, it's an irrational crime of passion.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a person is constantly accusing their partner of cheating on them, laughing behind their back, having an affair, and they shoot them out of jealousy or rage. Yeah. It's not that they've that they're going to go around and perform a mass murder or they're going to be a serial killer. It's just that they are convinced that they're treating them in this way and it's a crime of passion essentially.
Right, don't they say when there's a murder they always look for to the husband first?
Yes, it's almost always the spouse. Always,
right. Yeah.
Which is very scary.
Or a family member, which is sad.
Yes. Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
It can also turn violent. This is super interesting. It can also turn violent in cases of bigotry. A lot of white supremacists have PPD.
Oh, interesting.
Because they are convinced that other races are taking their jobs, that other races are violent, that they are inferior to them, and sometimes even to the point of like they're not important at all and you can't talk sense into them.
That's so prevalent now with like some of the most recent shootings. That's exactly how those people were.
They have,
saying like, I have to kill anyone who's Hispanic.
Yeah, because they'll if I don't kill them, they're going to kill me.
Right.
when it's like, well, the evidence shows that you are far more dangerous.
You are much worse than this person.
Right. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Wow.
Of course.
Why is it always dudes, though? There's got to be like a gene. There's got to be something. Like, you every time there's a mass shooter, there's never like, it's never like some woman that's like, no. I just lost it and shot up a mall.
Right.
There's got to be, I wonder, is there any scientific.
I wonder if it has to do, I mean, I don't know. I was going to say, I wonder if it has to do with empathy, because usually if a woman is going to hurt someone, it's going to be herself mm-hmm. or the people closest to her.
Right.
Yeah.
It's not going to be strangers.
She usually doesn't target someone.
Right. So I'm wondering, like, genetic or like chromosome wise, why there's got to be
unless it's in self defense.
Well, yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know.
That is
aggression.
Aggression, sure. Do you think it's like a sexual? Do you think it has something to do with like an inferiority complex a lot of times?
Totally. Maybe. I mean, could be. Guns are very phallic.
They're very phallic, yeah.
But also, I was going to say, like, incels also have paranoid personality disorder a lot of the time, because in their head, like, there's no reason for women to not want to sleep with them.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
They have everything.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that they don't, women are purposefully not sleeping with them because they think, you know what I mean? It's these thoughts where it's like, oh my God, like, if you could just step out of yourself and look at the situation with a clear head, you would be able to see this is insane.
Right.
But I'm the same way with my anxiety disorder. Mm-hmm. I've told every therapist I've ever had, like, look, I get it. I can sit there and tell myself, like, Ashley, what you're freaking out about is the silliest fucking thing in the whole world.
Mm-hmm.
It's so silly. I can step back and be like, that's hilarious.
Right.
You're being ridiculous. But it doesn't matter.
No, facts and data don't matter.
No, because I am losing it.
Feeling.
I am sweating. Yeah. I can't breathe.
If you have a phobia, right? So, like, my mom has this with food. She thinks she's going to choke, right? So she's down all, like, she's lost a lot of weight and, she is in her head, like, if she eats, she's going to choke, right?
Wow.
So she doesn't eat. And but you can show data that goes, hey, you're not going to choke if eating's
fine,
right?
Look at how many times
it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
I have it with flying, with airplanes, right? You can tell me how many times or how it's the safest form of travel and how it goes up and how it goes down. But when you're there and your mind goes, you're not safe, everything takes over, right?
Yeah.
And so my legs are physically running, right? Yep. I'm sitting, but my legs are running in place.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sweating, I'm shaking, and in my head, I'm like, this turbulence means that we're dying.
Yep.
We're going to hit the ground at any second, right?
Period.
And everyone around me is sound asleep.
I know.
Right? So the problem is me.
Yeah.
Right? And there's this part of my brain that goes, you're being silly right now. This is literally clouds blowing you around. But then there's that. But then the other thing that takes over and starts pumping adrenaline, you start follow that thought down the path,
and then you can't
come back from it.
I have
it's
that
like
exact
fight or
same
flight.
Fear.
Fight or flight, yeah.
And Alex, my husband, sits next to me on every flight and reads me statistics.
Yeah.
He'll literally be like, these are the stats. These
it
are how often
matter.
Planes go
that
down. And
matter.
I'm still sitting there crying. I've actually hyperventilated on a plane several times where my hands go stiff, my mouth goes stiff, my tongue goes stiff because I'm in such a state of panic. Even though there's a captain who's not like currently flying the plane, a captain who's just riding the flight, who's like passed out, living his best life. I'm like, he of all people knows that we're safe. I should be looking to him as my example, but I'm still sitting there crying.
Did you do better with Wilder?
I did, which I'm like, he was my savior. I took my son on a plane for the first time and I felt like I had to be more secure for him.
Yeah.
So it gave me a little bit of a sense of security. So I'm like, Wilder, you're coming on.
You don't want to pass it on to him. Right.
I did get nervous a little bit during turbulence, but I didn't ever go into full panic. So I was like, you're holding your son. Keep your shit
together. Well, that's one thing I always wondered. Like, I don't know if I'll ever have kids, but it's always been interesting to me because I feel like you'd think as someone who's as anxious as I am, would have a child and become 20 times more anxious.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly think that I wouldn't be anxious anymore.
Right,
because
you don't. Right.
It puts things into perspective. You're like, hey, listen, I got to take care of this fucking thing.
You got to get your shit together.
Step it up.
Yeah. I sat next to a child on a plane the other day and I was just like, don't pass your weirdness on to them.
Literally,
I was just like, don't.
Keep it together.
And we hit some turbulence and she kind of like looks at me and I'm like, oh, like nod my head.
Yep.
But inside I'm like, freaking out.
That's exactly what I did.
But I can't give
but
this to this child.
You can stay kind of level-headed because you're like, okay, I can't.
Right.
I used to be pretty bad with flying until I started dating Mr. scaredy pants in there, and now I'm the easiest flyer in the world. Wow. Because I'm literally like,
he has issues with it too.
Yeah. I'll literally like squeeze his hand and be like, it's fine, it's fine.
Even when if you're I used to be like,
now I'm just like, listen, if we die, we die.
Yeah
If we die,
the only
we
thing
die.
That's ever helped me with that, and listeners, if you want to take this as some like is meditation, over the last 3 years, it's changed my entire life. It's like, it's
when do you
I mean
meditate?
I fly
You
four
fly
times a
lot.
Month, yeah. six yeah. times a month. And
so you have to keep it together.
Have to, yeah. So I meditate as soon as I sit down. I find my seat. I usually try to get window or aisle next to other people so people aren't going to interrupt me. I put the headphones on. I have an app. It's called Headspace.
I love Headspace.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Used it too.
And I literally put it for 30 minutes, and I do not open my eyes until the 30 minutes are done. And what's happened now is I take off with the plane, right? My eyes are closed. Before, I'm controlling the situation, right? Control, control, control. If I squeeze and I look out the window, I have some semblance of control, which is bullshit.
Yeah.
So now I relinquish all control, and I sit in my seat, and I move with the plane with my breath. We're going, okay. And then I glide with it, and I go, okay, mm-hmm. if we go left, we have to go right eventually. If we go down, we have to go up, right? And mm-hmm. so now you just become one with the plane and the motion, and it has changed my life.
I love that.
With anxiety and depression and everything. It's just like, my thoughts aren't real. So when you meditate, mm-hmm. you're able to like slowly, and it's been a few years, like disconnect from your thoughts.
Yeah.
And you go, that's the thing. I'm not going to, I see you and I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yes.
But I'm not going to follow you down.
Right.
Headspace describes it as our thoughts are like cars on a highway, right? Mm-hmm. So you grab the bumper and it just takes you for miles, right?
Yeah.
And then you grab another one, and then you're on a different path.
Yep.
So what you want to be is you want to be the one who's on the side of the highway watching them go by.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay, I see it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah.
I think that's what people get tripped up on when they try to meditate. They're like, I can't. I have too many thoughts. It's like, right. No. You're Good. Always going to have thoughts. Great. You could literally be like, I've been meditating for 30 years. You're still going to have thoughts pop in your head. It's just a matter of if you continue with that thought or if you go, I'll get to you later.
Yep.
Yeah. Like, exactly. I'm going to put that to the side for now.
Right now, I'm not doing that.
And, people, it's like going to the gym. Like, I don't have abs the first time. It's like, you got to like
practice
a long time. Yeah. In the morning, 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the afternoon. You do it. And after a while, it's like, man. And you can see like brain, like you can do scans on your brain that's like shows that it changes your brain chemistry with that sort of deal.
That app is like saving me right now because I don't have the other PPD, postpartum depression. Mm-hmm. I think I'm self-aware enough to know that I don't have that, but I actually got PPA, postpartum anxiety, which is a lot less common. But I've always had a little bit of anxiety, but it got super intensified after I had Wilder. But honestly, Headspace has like changed my life.
Yeah.
I'm able to sleep so much better, relax so much more. Yep. And it's not perfect, obviously, by any means. But my main thing was I wasn't sleeping because I was just staring at Wilder and hoping he was breathing at all hours of the night. And now it's helping me to rest and actually shut my eyes. So
it also helps you when you meditate often, it helps you to be present in other moments.
Mm-hmm.
Like it helps you to be more, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't know. I guess presence kind of the best way to put it. But like when you're washing dishes, like focusing
washing
on washing the
I'm
dishes.
Brushing my teeth. Yes.
Instead of like brushing your teeth and also thinking about like, oh, well, tomorrow I have to do this and that and this and that. It's like, hey,
I'm having a conversation with Ashley. I'm not thinking about, what should I say? What do I got to say next? Like you can listen to the other person. Like, oh, wow. Okay. Tell me more about that. Instead of like, okay. Right. Right.
Which is something that it's helped me a lot with my anxiety because I have social anxiety as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of something where it's like I never felt like I was ever connecting with another person.
I never knew that about you.
Really?
Yeah, I would never peg that.
Yeah.
And I've known you for a while. I've never even...
A lot of people don't know.
Because you do put on a good facade.
I'm very functioning.
That would explain the 6 months in between texts, though. That makes sense.
She
right
was
now.
Just too terrified.
I don't know what to say.
She really didn't know what to say.
How do I put this? How do I ask?
You were the lowest downloads of that month.
Yeah. How do I tell him it wasn't a good
guest? That is actually like a part of social anxiety, though. Like if I get overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I won't speak to people. Like, I won't text back. And people...
Oh, sure. Yeah, for sure.
Or,
But that has a lot to do with... That has a lot to do with less of, like, a disorder and more of, like, there's so many... You're getting hit.
Okay, I gotta respond to this Instagram message. Yeah. Facebook message. There's just too Twitter, many things. Text, call,
oh,
email.
I feel
it's
that
like,
every day.
Oh my God. It's like sometimes you just, like, I'll just shut down.
Oh yeah, it's
like,
overwhelming.
I can't. I'm not talking to anybody today. No one texts me. Like,
good luck.
Yeah, good luck. I'll go to the bathroom, like sit in the stall for a minute and just like, there's too many people here. I gotta like take some deep breaths.
Yeah, you have to. Sometimes you just have to shut it down, like turn the phone off, or you're gonna go.
There's just
insane.
Too many. There's too many people asking. Like I was yesterday. Someone was texting me. Someone was messaging me on Facebook. I had a couple of comments on Facebook that people left that I'd respond to. There was an Instagram DM, and then my friend was calling me, and I was just like, "Dude, this is too many forms of communication right now. I can't.
You just throw your phone off the balcony. Like, I'm done. Yeah. I'm done. I can't do this." Okay, so incels, as I said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do you mind? I'm sorry. Can you elaborate more on what an incel is? And that's my dumb way. When I say elaborate more, that's my dumb way of being like, what is that?
Isn't that like an over-dominant male is the best way to...
It stands for they don't really involuntary celibates.
Involuntary. So they're just not getting laid.
They're not getting laid.
Okay.
But they also feel superior to women, right?
The thing is like they think that women are like, if you have never had sex, they only want women who have never had sex before. They don't want women who have had sex because they're automatically whores. Like you have to wait to have sex. Yeah. Until
what's
you're
the opposite
married.
Of that?
Not interested. Involuntary celibates are members of an online subculture. It's now not online anymore.
Right.
That one kid who was a school shooter was an incel that college campus.
Is it the Chads?
It was the Dylan Roof?
It wasn't the one kid. It was like a director's son.
Okay, I don't know that
a
I know.
A famous director, or maybe not famous, but like a well-known director's son.
Okay.
So it started kind of as, have you heard of like the Red Pill? Reddit? No? Oh, man. I got some catching. I'm going to send you
some
links.
We're going to have a whole other episode.
Yeah. Can we come back for incels?
Yeah. So they're characterized by resentment, self-pity, self-loathing, misogyny, racism, a sense of entitlement to sex, and the endorsement of violence against sexually active people. Mm-hmm. So like if they're not getting any, no one can
Nobody
get any.
Can.
Like, I'd rather kill you.
Okay.
Which and they also so think scary. Like that they have like everything to offer the world.
Yeah, that's the part that I knew was that it's like I am superior. Like if you don't want to be with me, like we have an issue.
You're
and
a whore. You deserve to die. Yeah. Like it's kind of crazy.
Wow. Okay.
And there's an example that I have that we actually talked about, I believe, on our obsession episode with George.
Oh, so I was right. Chad's. So
is
Chad is
name?
A term. Oh, Chad like is that. The one who is the one who's the muscular, popular guy who's getting, who sleeps with a lot of women. So
that's
they don't like
the
Chads.
Chad.
Yes.
They hate Chads.
They hate Chads.
I remember that it came up in conversation the other day and I like filed that away somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad I did because bang, bang, it came up on
now
this one.
It's come back.
Yeah.
But they have that paranoid personality disorder where like they think that like the reason that people aren't sleeping with, it's a choice and everyone's in on it.
Everyone's against them.
Yeah.
Right.
Where in reality is like they're awful and impossible and no one's going
to
want to be in a relationship with that. But a good example was Robert Bardo, who, like I said, we mentioned on our obsession episode, he became obsessed with an actress named Rebecca Schaefer. She sent him, at his request, a signed photograph of herself, and he took it as an invitation to begin a relationship with her. This is an actress who sent an autographed headshot to a guy.
Right.
He spent 2 years stalking her, obsessing over her, and she was in a movie called Scenes from a Class Struggle in Beverly Hills, which I've never heard of, but apparently she was like really scantily clad and laying in bed with a man, and he took it as a slight against him.
Okay.
Like he took it as like
she's
offending
cheating.
Him.
Yeah. She's with a Chad.
So she's with a Chad and he got her address from the DMV and he shot her and killed her when she answered her door.
That is so sad.
Wow. Cool
people,
DMV.
Yeah. How did that work? I mean, it was like in the 90s, so maybe there was,
how long
it was
did
easier.
That
like, I'm not sure.
How long was that line?
What?
How long was that line? I'm just here for a celebrity's address. Oh, you got to get back to the line.
Back to the line, sir.
You actually need a pink form.
Yeah. My friend, he's in, I don't want to say who, he plays for someone very, very famous, and she has a guy right now that is it's the same situation where he's a former military, he has developed this this like she's his, and so my buddy's her drummer, and they're on like high alert right now, and they have extra security, and that guy has a what's it called when he can't a restraining order? He has a restraining order, and he like can't, and they 5150'd him, and he just got out recently, and. It's pretty.
That's so scary.
It's a lot of anxiety.
That's really scary.
Letters and threats. Because
you never know
what
they're gonna.
Right, especially like
what they're gonna do.
Right, especially like, and we'll get into mine a little bit with the military thing. It's like kind of, you know, that happens.
There was a singer a few years ago. I won't remember who she is. Like, that from, girl who a guy. I know. I'm blanking on her name. I didn't know her until the story came out. But that guy drove to Florida or whatever it was to her concert.
For the meet and greet.
For the meet and greet and just shot her like in plain sight because he was so obsessed.
Oh, my God.
It was so sad. And she was like 22. It was so horrible. She was really young.
She was from The Voice.
Yes.
Christina Grimey.
Yep.
Yep.
There was a that documentary, I Think We're Alone Now. Mm-hmm. And it's about people who are obsessed with the singer Tiffany.
Yep.
And think they're in a relationship with her.
Right.
Wow.
Which is...
Ooh.
I almost said nuts, but...
You can't say nuts. It's a little...
Very scary.
You know, especially Tiffany. I mean, Tiffany now or Tiffany back then?
Even Tiffany back then, it's like, how many songs does she have?
I know, only two that I can think of.
So people in advanced stages of... paranoid personality disorder bordering on paranoid schizophrenia to full-blown schizophrenia can be very dangerous people in the wrong circumstances. They can become violent, sometimes homicidal, self-defense, and it's usually a perceived threat, not a real threat, a perceived threat. Defense of one's manhood, and this usually comes in the form of homosexual panic.
See, it's the dude thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Defense of one's children. This actually we see a lot with the murder of one's children or family to try and save their souls.
Oh, there's... we covered that in the episode I was on. There was a mom who did that, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's
Talk about that.
There was a woman who was deeply religious and was convinced that her 9-year-old son and her 3-year-old daughter were going to be kidnapped and forced to make child pornography. So she killed them to save them.
Right.
And it's just like.
Yeah.
And finally, defense of the world, homicide to save and or protect all of humankind. And I have one more quick story because you guys are going to love this. His name is Herbert Mullen.
Herbert First name Mullen. Again?
Herbert.
Thank you.
Herbert Mullen is still in prison in California. He's now 72 years old. He went on a killing spree in the early 1970s. He killed 13 people because he believed he was preventing earthquakes.
What?
Yes.
No.
So he grew up in Santa Cruz. He had a strict upbringing, but non-abusive, World War II vet. He had a ton of friends. He was voted most likely to conceive.
To conceive. He's a Chad.
Chad.
Most likely to succeed.
Okay, Jesus.
Great. It's a hard
By
word.
His classmates. But shortly after he graduated from high school, his best friend was killed in a car accident. And he ended up building a shrine to his friend in his bedroom. And later he expressed fears that he was homosexual, even though he had a longtime girlfriend. And when he was 21, he was committed by his family to a mental hospital. He was in and out over the next few years, but he didn't trust the doctors. He didn't trust the other patients. His behavior became erratic. He was self-harming. He was putting cigarettes out on his skin. He ended up trying to become a priest. He got evicted from an apartment for repeatedly pounding on the floor, shouting at people who weren't there. Years later, Robert K. Ressler, who was an FBI profiler, said that Mullen had developed paranoid schizophrenia. What probably happened is that he was schizotypal or paranoid, and it was compounded by depression after his friend was killed, and then worsened more after he began to use LSD and amphetamines.
I'm sure.
Did his friend die in an earthquake?
No, car accident.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you would think.
That would make sense.
Well,
right?
The thing was is that, so by the time he turned 25, he was full paranoid, schizophrenic. He was hearing voices in his head that told him an earthquake was imminent. And that only through human sacrifice could he save California. Mm. His birthday was actually on April 18th, which was the anniversary of the 1906 San Francisco earthquake. So that's where the connection, I think, came in with him.
Right.
Okay.
Mullen believed that the Vietnam War had produced enough American death to stall earthquakes, almost like a blood sacrifice to nature. But that because the war was winding down in 1972, he would have to start killing people to keep the earthquakes away.
Yeah.
Oh, and he he fully believed that this was what was happening. He had no remorse for killing these people because of all the people he was saving.
Thought he was saving the world
by killing them.
Wow.
It's Thanos.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. Oh my gosh, which here's the thing. Every time I see that, I'm like, I get it.
Yeah. For sure. For sure.
It has to happen this way.
This guy was in prison in California during the Northridge earthquake, by the way. So, oh, you know, he's like, I told you.
Like, I'm not doing my duty.
You see?
My gosh, that's true.
This poor guy sitting in there like.
The guards are like, should we let him out?
I know. Maybe he was right.
I don't know.
So he ended up killing 13 people. And the thing was, is like, there was no MO. There was no, like, the first one was a 55-year-old homeless man. The next one was a 24-year-old hitchhiking woman. The next one was a priest. Mm. He, like, went to confess his sins, but then decided, oh, this, he literally thought the priest, just by meeting with him, was volunteering himself.
Oh, wow. Like Tribune?
Yeah. He killed like 15-year-old kids who were camping. He killed like 4-year-old children. Oh. And it was always like, I mean, there was strangling, shooting, stabbing. Like, there was
no
MO.
So just whatever he could do to kill him.
So they couldn't catch the guy for so long because they didn't have any idea these were even connected.
Right.
The final murder took place in 1973. He was driving around Santa Cruz. He passed a retired fisherman named Fred Perez, who was weeding his yard. He pulled a U-turn, shot him in the chest, and just drove off. It was the middle of the day. There were like 10 witnesses mm-hmm. that got his license plate number. And he didn't resist when the cops arrested him because he literally was like, I'm not doing anything wrong. Like, yeah. I'm doing this.
I'm
like, you should be thanking me.
This.
Oh, no, thank you, officer. I'm just stopping earthquakes. Yeah. He like, just tries to drive away.
I don't realize.
Hold on a second, Herbert.
Now, this is just something I think you guys would like. Do you watch Mindhunter, Justin?
Yes.
Okay. Have you watched this season?
I have not.
Oh,
is this Ted Bundy? Is this Bundy's season?
No. I don't think Bundy's in the show.
I thought it was like kind of like based on, someone was saying it's like based
not
on
Bundy.
Like the good looking dude who is am I thinking of a different show?
I think
am
so.
Am I thinking of a different show?
Yeah, Mindhunter really is the one with...
Where they invent the FBI profile,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
For some reason, someone had told me that season two is loosely based on a Ted Bundy type character.
Oh, no.
Okay.
But season two's great.
Okay.
Unfriend that person.
Yeah.
Don't talk to them ever again.
Ugh. It's not true.
Or maybe I wasn't listening because I was thinking about what I was going to say next.
Well, Ed exactly. Kemper shared a cell with this guy when he was at the medical facility. Ed Kemper earthquake guy. Ed Kemper was in season one and a little bit of season two of Mindhunter, and he's the scariest person who's ever lived.
Actor is so good.
He's so good. Ed Kemper said, and this is a direct quote, "Mullen had a habit of singing and bothering people when someone tried to watch TV, so I threw water on him to shut him up. Then when he was a good boy, I'd give him some peanuts. Herbie liked peanuts. That was effective because pretty soon he asked permission to sing. And that's called behavior modification treatment."
Oh.
Because Ed Kemper is a fucking genius.
He is a genius.
He's also terrifying.
He's a horrifying, horrifying man, but he is so, so smart and he's so fascinating.
Yeah.
And I don't love Ed Kemper, but I love that he did that to Mullen and was like, hey, get your shit together.
Stop.
You better ask for
permission.
You're
going to end up dying in here.
Wow.
Dang.
So yeah, Mullen's PPD and STPD developed and worsened over time more rapidly because of drugs. It ended up becoming full paranoid schizophrenia. And he was super difficult to catch again because there was no pattern at all to his murders. Just people ending up dead to prevent an earthquake.
Stop earthquakes. Right.
So that's all the time we have this week for Keep It Weird. As usual, thank you so much for listening. You guys continue to be our favorite part of the show. Huge shout out to Justin Foster for joining us in the studio again. You can follow him on Instagram at Justin Comic to find out all of his upcoming tour dates and performances and even see clips of his stand-up. Justin has performed all over the country. He's currently finishing his tour with comedian Drew Lynch, who you may remember from America's Got Talent, and he's performed with many other comics you know, like Bill Burr, Jeff Garland, Burt Kreischer, Daniel Tosh, and even Aisha Tyler. Next week, we're going to continue going mental. Justin is going to be telling us about antisocial personality disorder, aka sociopaths. And Lauren is going to be teaching us about the extremely controversial topic of dissociative disorder, aka multiple personalities. Huge thank you to FabFitFun for sponsoring our show. We really do hope you guys take advantage of our discount code WEIRD and get yourself the fall box. I've been looking for an excuse to get a new subscription box, and I'm really, really glad we got to meet them. They are truly wonderful. Tonight, Amy and I are recording your August bonus episode for all you patrons out there. It's going to be a blast, and if you're interested in getting bonus episodes and newsletters, then join us over at www.patreon.com/keepitweirdpodcast and donate to the show. Endless, endless thank yous to our patrons. You are what keeps this show running. Follow us on social media at keepitweirdcast across all platforms. Head over to www.etsy.com/shop/keepitweirdpodcast if you want to get your hands on some merch. I guess I'm going to end today's show by saying if you or anyone you know is suffering from a mental or personality disorder, please reach out. Please get help. You can actually visit www.mentalhealthamerica.net. You click on the drop-down menu, hover over Find Help, and choose Find Help for Myself or Find Help for Someone Else. And there's all kinds of resources there for you. It's really amazing. Check it out. Even if you don't think that you have a mental disorder, there are also resources that are there to help you to just stay mentally healthy. So check them out. Also, never date a clown, because it'll come back to haunt you for the rest of your life. So keep it weird, but in a non-clown way.
Oh, yeah, she says
something with a bottle of Jack.
Like he looks like Mick Jagger.
Yes. Yes. So she does talk about Jack.
Yeah. That's kind of right.
Sipping on... What the fuck way. Is that line?
Wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy.
Yes.
Go to brush my teeth with a bottle of Jack because I leave for the day.
But then where's the Jagger part?
If we kick him to the curb if they don't
look like Mick Jagger. I'll get him pedicure on my toes.
Open up my phone, Yeah, we did it.
I hope you're recording.
That's our show. That is our show. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for tuning in.
See you later. Thanks for taking the time.